Would you give me your full name, including your maiden name?
Norma Jean Goodwin Flanagan.
And you were born where?
In Elgin.
About when?
1939.
Your parents had been living in Elgin, or no, you were...
No, my parents lived at the Mattaway Lumber Company.
That's right. And the reason you came to Elgin to be born was?
My grandparents were there. Uh-huh. Born in my grandmother's home.
Yes. At that time, the Grand Ron Hospital existed. Why not there?
Mother just wanted to be at home with her family. Mm-hmm. And she knew the old doctor who just lived two or three blocks from the house.
Do you remember that doctor's name?
Bennett.
Dr. Bennett. Uh-huh. He was a physician who worked primarily in Elgin, or did he...
I think so.
...cover a larger area?
I think... I don't know.
Okay. So, as an infant, you went back to the Madeline Emily Lumber Camp.
Yes, I was just a few weeks old when we went back up there.
And about when do your memories of life in that camp begin? At what age?
Oh, probably... maybe three or four. I very faintly remember the first house that we lived in. And then when we moved up right just next door to another house, I remember that a lot clearer. And I remember my dad and my uncle putting the water in, and I remember Dad studying doing his time books by the kerosene lamp, because that was a little brighter. Or maybe that was the only lamp we had right then. I'm just not quite sure of that.
And when you say you remember your dad doing his time books, what was his job there at the mill?
It wasn't a mill.
Mill camp, the lumber camp, yeah.
He worked in the woods, but he drove logging truck and he bumped knots and he did various things. And it would depend on the season, how to, you know, if it was in the springtime, they weren't hauling logs, so he was doing something else. And at one time when I was six, he was laid off up there and he went to work for the state down here in La Grande. And we came down here and I went to school at Greenwood School for just a few weeks while they were laid off up there.
When you say that one of his jobs was to bump knots, uh-huh. What does that mean?
Take the limbs off of the logs, you know, they fall the trees and then there's limbs on it, and that's cutting off all of the limbs and the knots that are on them.
What sort of a tool
log.
Would he use that? Some kind
an
of a
axe.
Saw?
An axe. Uh-huh.
An axe. Oh. That sounds like fairly skilled work to get that done correctly. Have
I
you
don't
watched
know.
Him? Did you watch him do it?
No. No, it was done out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Did he describe it at all? Do you remember?
He must have, because I knew what he
yes,
did.
Yes, yes. Labor intensive compared to the present. I don't think they do that at the present, do they?
I don't know how they take them off now. They must have to somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I would think they would have to, but I don't know.
And when you said he kept his time books, why did he need to do that?
Well, I think he kept track of not just his, but several of the men that were on his crew, I believe. I'm not positive about
that. Was he a kind of
that.
A foreman?
I don't know at that time what... I was quite small when he did
mm-hmm.
that, so
sure.
I really don't remember.
Sure.
I just remember him sitting at the table doing that.
Mm-hmm. Among those memories you were recounting that you first recalled, the kerosene lamps and so on, what else do you remember about the house you lived in?
I remember how terribly cold it was in the wintertime. And we would come home from town, we would come down here on Saturdays, and we would go home and it would be so cold, and all we had was wood fires at that time. And we would go next door to our neighbor's, Johnny's house. He was an old bachelor. And he was always home and his house was warm. And we would go over there and wait until our house got warmed up and then we'd go back home. And
you suppose your house was uninsulated?
Oh, there was no insulation in it. They were single board walls, I do believe.
They were erected as temporary structures?
Yes, they were houses that were on skids.
Yeah.
And they've not been moved since we lived there. But they had been in different places before that. And I did see them move a few houses in as a child.
Do you think that they were erected for workers' families?
Exactly.
And comfort wasn't exactly the first criteria.
Well, they were pretty comfortable, really, when, as time went on.
Except for the cold.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That never improved.
Well, when we got oil spills, that really helped them. Made quite a difference. They don't have to have a cold house to come home to.
How many rooms did it have?
We had two bedrooms, a living room and a kitchen. The first house didn't get it. It was just a two-room.
And they were plumbed?
No way.
No way.
We had outhouses.
How did you get your water for drinking and washing?
Well, when I was quite small, I must have been about four, I think, that's when Dad dug the ditch and put the water into the house. Otherwise, we had a faucet outside that everyone had to go out and get water from.
You mean dug the ditch to install pipes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And where did that, what was the source of that water?
There was a spring house. It was up between the upper and lower camps. And our water up there was wonderful. It was really good water. To this day, I can't stand the chlorine in the water. Mm-hmm. It was such good water. Mm-hmm. It's always so cold in there.
Was that erected for the use of all of the residents?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So everyone had the option of piping into it?
Oh, yes. We had faucets that were throughout camp so that before it was piped into the houses so that you could just go out to the faucet there and get it. You didn't have to go up to the spring house.
Mm-hmm. But the additional pipes,
then you could see that
if were at the option of the person who was living there?
I think so. Anyway, mm-hmm. That's what Dad did, but I don't know if everyone did their own or it was done by company people. Uh-huh.
And did one of these houses had its own outhouse, or was there a communal one?
No, everyone had their own.
Did that have to be reinstalled periodically?
No, they had to be moved.
Yes.
I remember Halloween being a time when I was very small that kids went around tipping them over.
Oh, yes.
I do remember that.
Uh-huh. What happened as a result of that?
Well, some of them got in trouble.
Could they just be put back into position without too much effort?
I don't remember.
You don't?
As I got older, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. So, was it outhouses throughout the time you lived there?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I think I remember there was one family. I used to babysit for them as I was like 7th and 8th grade. And they had a bathroom. I think they were the only ones in the whole camp who did.
And may seem a strange question, but as you grew a little bit older and maybe talked to other people your age in La Grande or other places, did it seem to you that there was anything at all glamorous about living in a logging camp?
Not at all glamorous, no. It was just home.
But it was different, surely, in many ways, from the way people in town, in La Grande and other towns lived.
It wasn't that different.
No?
No, not really. We may have been closer. Everybody in camp was, they were all good friends, and mm-hmm. everybody kind of looked out after everyone else's kids, you know. If you did something that you shouldn't, your parents were going to find out about it.
It was a tight community?
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm.
Were there any minority families living there?
We had Indian people, and we had Greek people, Japanese. They were all really nice. Lots of old Swedes that worked on the railroad.
Did some of them speak their native languages?
Oh, yes.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yes.
Learn any?
No, I didn't learn anything.
Pick up a word or two here or there?
Oh, I may have done that, but that was about uh-huh. it.
Uh-huh. Well, that certainly gave it an air of the unusual.
One Greek boy came over. His name was Philip Sackus, and his father worked up there, and he came over from Greece, and he couldn't speak a word of English. And so he came to school, and we all helped him learn to speak English, and he learned it quite quickly. We made books and pointed to animals and would say the name, and he would say it. And I remember he learned to ride my bicycle. He had never, ever been on a bicycle, and he was a teenager.
Uh-huh. when he arrived?
Yes. Uh-huh.
13, 14, 15?
Maybe 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a real little kid at all.
Did he come by himself or with his family?
Just him came here to his dad, if I remember. Hmm. I don't think there was a mother in the picture at all, but here, that I ever knew of.
You started at school when you were in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Would you describe the school?
Well, I think in about 1945, there were three of us who started first grade together. That was Gary Pearson, Annette Tall, and me. And I think that was in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
Not positive. And
the school was made like many of the other buildings up there using old freight cars, right?
It was box cars, wooden box
mm-hmm.
cars that they put together and built a hall and a coat room between the two box cars. And
do you think they used box cars because that was the cheapest way to erect the building for some other purpose?
And to be able to move it, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. It didn't have the wheels on it still, did it?
I think it did, and it was boxed in below, so you couldn't see it, but I think the wheels were on. I'm not positive, but I think they were.
No, boxcars aren't insulated. Was the school insulated?
Oh, no, nothing was insulated. But it was very warm in the winter. We always had a good fire.
Is that an oil stove?
No, we had wood.
And it was wired for electricity?
Oh, yes. We had,
did it have an outhouse also?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And a sink inside?
Oh, yes, inside sink and faucet, or mm-hmm. a fountain to drink
mm-hmm.
from. And we would come in and we'd stay, and we always had to wash our hands and get a drink before we went in to sit down.
Two teachers?
Two teachers, the lower four grades. We're in one side and the upper floor in the other.
Were the two rooms furnished similarly?
Yes, we had the regular school desk with the armrest and the desk like this, you know, and the seats and mm-hmm. the fold-up seats.
So that they could be moved in various configurations.
Well, they were in rows. They were attached in rows.
Well, they were attached together.
Yeah, we had two rows there. Yeah. And we had blackboards on one side of the room and windows on the other, and a huge big dictionary on a big stand, so we were encouraged to use that anytime we needed to.
And a teacher's desk?
Oh, yes. That was at the side of the room.
Bookshelves?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Did you have your own little library in the room, or did they have a traveling library maybe that came by truck?
I believe the library from LeGrand came up and brought books. Things out. I don't really remember real clear on that, but I think that's what happened.
But the school supplied all your textbooks?
Yes.
What did you have to supply?
Just the paper and pencils was all I could
remember. Notebooks, probably.
Yeah, that type of thing.
And school would go each day from what, 9 in the morning till?
9 till 4.
4. With an hour off for lunch?
Yes.
You went home for lunch?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
Now there's a little creek between the houses where you were living and that school.
Mm-hmm.
Still there.
Yes. Meadowbrook.
What sort of a bridge, or how did you get across the creek?
Well, it was the bridge that the cars drove on, and it had a thing over the top like this, bridge span like this, and the rails on the side. Some of the kids would climb all of the walk that, but I never did. I didn't like high places. I remember my sister doing it and my mother catching her. She didn't do it again.
In the spring, I imagine, that creek was quite full.
Very high.
Was the bridge ever close to the water then?
Yes, quite close.
Quite close.
Mm-hmm.
When you say the curve thing at the top, this was the construction of the bridge
uh-huh.
there,
yeah.
Sort of an arch
yeah.
to suspend it.
Mm-hmm.
That's no longer there. Was that, do you think that was built? Well, you said the cars drove over it. Did it need to be a bridge that a lot that could accommodate a lot of traffic?
Yes, that was the main route through the camp at that time, that road up above that goes up to sort
the highway.
Of the timber there, the highway. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was not there. It went, the whole road went right through camp. It didn't come in from where it is now either. It came down the canyon.
Surely, though, the people who lived and worked there didn't need to use the bridge except to walk across, did they?
Oh, no, everybody drove.
So it would have just been, what, cars coming in from La Grande or elsewhere?
Well, the people who worked, who lived there used their cars to go up to the commissary and wherever they'd gone.
that's what surprises me. Such a short distance, why would they need to do that?
I don't know, but they did.
Did most of the people who lived there have cars?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where did they put the cars?
Just parked outside their house.
I didn't think there would be quite enough space.
Oh, yeah, there was plenty. Mm-hmm. Dad built a garage on our house.
Well, let's return to life in the school. What other details of how the school day was set up, or what other activities went on in connection with the school?
Well, we played on the playground for about a half hour before school each day. Then we
even in the snow?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. No, we had lots of fun in the snow.
Yes.
And then we had the pledge and sang songs. And the teacher would call on each one, or different ones, to choose what songs they would like to sing. Songs such as God Bless America, Stars and Stripes, and My Old Kentucky Home, K-Songs, and Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. Then we would have math and reading. And then at 10:30 we would have recess for 15 minutes and lunch at noon. Then we would be back to school for a half hour recess before school. And then we'd be back in by 1 and have geography in the afternoon. And then we could read library books in our free time. And the teacher read for every day for a half hour right after lunch. And that was something we all really enjoyed. She read really good books that we really liked. We got to pick out the books. She would get several, and then we would vote on which one we wanted to have her read. Oh, and then the outside activities that we did. We did such things as bicycle riding and hiking and flower picking and horseback riding, playing in the creek and sleigh riding and skating and jump rope. In the spring, jump rope was a real big thing. And playing on the tie pile. And on our end of the camp, we enjoyed doing that quite a bit.
That's T-I-E, as in railroad ties.
Right, railroad ties. There were great big stacks of them. And we would just leap all over there.
Somewhat dangerous.
No, I don't think it was. They were stacked super high, and they were pretty... If it had been dangerous, my mom would not have let us do it. And May Day was a real big deal. We would pick flowers and make pretty little May baskets and go around and put them on everybody's door and knock and run so they didn't see who got them.
The fairies had left them.
Yeah. And then the speeder rides in the spring was a real fun thing.
Describe the speeder.
It was just a little car, that the rail car, that they used to maintain the track.
It was operated by a hand pump?
I don't think so.
Or did it have a motor?
It had a motor, yeah. I'm sure they had motors. They went right along. So we would take two of those and go up to Frog Heaven and take a picnic lunch. And everybody took their own sack lunch.
Where was Frog Heaven?
Up above Starkey, way up the track up in there. I don't know how many miles, maybe 10.
Now, you said when you said you took one of these speeders, do you mean that the company would allow kids
to borrow them?
No.
No? No. Gus Chachas was one of the speeder drivers. And someone else was one of the other ones. He was the maintenance foreman.
Right.
For the railroad.
So would he do this in his spare time or as part of his regular job?
Well, every year they did it. They just worked it in for us.
Mm-hmm. How many people could it accommodate at one time?
Oh, I don't know. We must have had 15 of each to be where I am, something like that.
But it's larger than I visualized then.
They're pretty good size, and mm-hmm. they would set up on the top and on the bottom and grill both.
Was it noisy?
Not all, a little bit, but not terribly.
I imagine kids thought that was wonderful fun.
Oh, it was fun. It was great fun.
Yes. And you'd go to Frog Heaven for the day,
uh-huh.
spend most of the day there. Was it woodsy?
Well, there was there's woods all around. There's everywhere up there. And the creek, and it was real marshy-like around there. You'd catch frogs and tadpoles, and it was just kind of a nature outing thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of a fun thing to reward us for being good all year.
Oh, yes. And any other adults go along?
I can't remember any others, only just the scooter drivers and the teachers. Mm-hmm.
So all the kids in the school were able to go on
mm-hmm.
this trip?
Yeah.
Did you have to have special permission from parents?
No.
You took a school day to do this?
Yes. Yeah.
When you spoke about having geography in the afternoon, can you tell me how geography was presented?
You studied your geography book and you answered questions and did tests, and it's pretty much the same kind of thing mm-hmm. that kids do now, I think.
Names of countries, names of capitals of
mm-hmm.
countries, that
yes.
sort of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mountain ranges.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Products.
Mm-hmm. All of that.
Mm-hmm.
We had good teachers.
But most of the content came from the textbook rather than from the teacher?
Well, both.
Well, what would the teacher add to the textbook?
Gosh, I don't know.
Did she have a map up in the front of the room?
Oh,
that she
yes,
would
we had lots.
Use a pointer to
yes.
direct your attention
yes,
to certain countries?
Yes, we had those type things.
And then maybe ask questions about
yes.
what's the name of this country, and
mm-hmm.
what products does it
yes,
raise, what's the climate.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Did you find that interesting?
Yes, I like geography.
Is that about the fourth grade? Well, maybe several grades you did that.
Yeah, I think we pretty much studied geography pretty much through
yeah.
from the upper grades.
Mm-hmm.
Probably fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Was there any science connected with that? You didn't mention spelling earlier. I suppose you did that.
Oh, okay. We did that.
What was the method for doing that? Presenting with 20 words on Monday and have you study them and take a test on Friday?
Yeah, pretty much.
Uh-huh. That's been the standard method for a long time. Spelling bees?
Yeah, we did have those too.
Was there a sense in this school where there were relatively few students, would there have been maybe 15 in each classroom?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Was there a sense that competition was a good thing as part of learning?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How was competition emphasized?
Well, like the spelling bees, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And there definitely were kids who were a lot smarter than others.
Mm-hmm. Sure, always. You got report cards.
Yeah.
And was it number grades or letter grades?
Letter grades.
Mm-hmm. Was much made of grades?
Not too much, I don't think. I think everybody almost always had satisfactory grades and above. S's and S pluses, pretty much.
How would the teachers reward those students who did well, other than with grades?
I don't think there was anything like that.
You didn't have an honor roll?
No. Mm-hmm.
Were there visits from a superintendent or any supervising
yes,
person?
They did come periodically, and help nurses came up there.
When these visits occurred, what awareness did you have of why they were there and what they were doing?
Oh, we knew why they were there, but I don't think anything big was made out of it at all. She just sat quietly and observed, and I remember. And when the health nurse came, sometimes we got shocked. I remember the first ones that were, I think it was smallpox shots, that were so terribly painful.
Sure. Was there any dental care in connection with that?
No, I don't think so. But we were all fortunate to have really good teeth because of the natural fluoride in the water.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I think everyone pretty much had good teeth up there.
Mm-hmm. Did the teachers ever have any difficulty with discipline?
Not usually. I think they may have had with some of the older kids when I was very small, but as I grew up, there was no problem.
I ask that because logging camps have the reputation of being pretty rough places, mm-hmm. and some vulgar talk and a lot of activity that's pretty pretty raw.
There was vulgar talk from some of the grown-ups that we knew that, but all the kids knew that we did not talk like that. Mm-hmm. And you never said, damn, hell, anything else, or you were in trouble.
Uh-huh.
It was just not done.
Was the teachers who enforced that primarily?
My mother.
Your mother.
I'm sure the teachers did too.
Mm-hmm. Certainly the presence of a number of women in a logging camp would tend to reduce, I suppose, the vulgarity.
I don't think there was any more vulgarity there than there was down here in town. Mm-hmm. And as far as it being a rough place, it wasn't.
Wes Tall told me when we were up there looking around that there was a building just across the creek from where the commissary is, where there were Saturday night dances,
mm-hmm.
and most of the men would get pretty drunk.
Yeah.
Were you aware of that activity?
Oh, yeah, I knew that went on. Mm-hmm.
How did you know? Was that firsthand or second?
Oh, I probably saw some of them as I was older, I don't know. Yeah. Just hearing tales, I remember liking to sit and listen to my mom and the neighbor ladies gossip. I remember thinking that was pretty neat to listen to them and to learn everything.
What sorts of story would they tell?
Oh, they just told things about what happened in their life when they were kids.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, things like that.
Not necessarily about what was going on currently in the camp.
Oh, there was some of that, mm-hmm. too, yeah.
Did you go with your mother or father or both up to the commissary?
I went by myself an awful lot. Mother would make a list, and I would get on my bicycle and ride up there and get the groceries and bring them home.
Was it set up like any other grocery store?
Pretty much. There was a big counter in the front, and let's see, there was a candy rack was over here, and then canned goods all around, and there was a meat place where it was all refrigerated, and then there were some like they carried jeans and things like that.
Mm-hmm. How many employees would you think?
Oh, there was just one.
One man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he was employed by a company, or was it a private concession?
It was from the company.
Do you know how the prices compared to stores in La Grande, say?
They must have been pretty reasonable. My parents always shopped there.
Were sales by credit?
If you wanted. I don't know if it all was or what.
You had the option of paying cash or
a
check?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was either way.
I recall grocery stores a little before that time where you didn't go around with a basket. You had to ask the man at the counter to get every single item for you. Is that how it worked?
No, you went and got it, put it on the counter, and he rang it up and wrote it up, and you took it home.
So it was all self-service.
One day I was riding my bicycle up there to get groceries, and the road was hard-packed. It was almost like 2 minutes. It was so hard-packed. Cars and the rain, and it was a clay type thing. And all of a sudden, I thought a car had hit me. And I was laying in the middle of the road, and I sat up and looked around. There was no car anywhere around, and my bicycle wheel in the front was on down the road, my bicycle had broken in two. And I was going right along. I was all skinned up and bleeding. My arms were bleeding. My legs were bleeding. I thought I had to get those groceries. I went to the store and I got the groceries. And the man that operated the store went over and got his wife, and she took me home in the car.
This was a freak accident.
Yeah, it was just a really weird thing.
Something wrong with your bicycle.
Well, wore out, I guess.
There was also a place up there that could serve as a community meeting room, wasn't there?
Well, that was the FKL Hall where the dances were held. That was Helfer. We had Bible school there after school.
What did FKL stand for?
Bang, Kinsler, and Lang.
The owners of the Emily Lumberg Company.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is that the one that they're... It's presently there, the large building, or is this one that's been demolished?
It's been demolished.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you have community meetings of any sort? I mean, formal meetings?
Well, not formal meetings, but we had all of our school programs were held there, and the dances, and like wedding showers or baby showers or mm-hmm. any type of thing that anybody wanted to use it for, and it was free. It had a kitchen in the back room. It had a great big room and a stage with a piano. And then it had a kitchen in the back, a small room in the back room.
Uh-huh. Did you have to reserve it in order to have a wedding reception, for instance?
Pretty much. There weren't usually two things at once. And sometimes we had some movies as I got a little older. There was a family who showed movies, and that was fun to get to see a movie. Otherwise, we had to come to town. They were small, but I do that once a week.
What kinds of movies? Silent movies?
Oh, no, they had sound.
Were these the same sorts of movies you might see in a theater in La Grande?
Some of them. I remember one horror film that really bothered me as a kid because it was about volcanoes, and I still remember this lady running, and her shoe fell off, and pretty soon lava got her.
And you didn't have to pay admission to see those movies?
I don't think we did. If we did, it wasn't very much.
These were all on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon too, perhaps?
I think it was like on the Thursday night.
Thursday?
It may not have been Thursday, but it was on a weeknight, I think.
By the way, did you frequently have homework, especially when you got in the upper grade?
Never did we have homework.
Were you encouraged to read, however,
at
home?
Yes, we all read a lot. I think probably most all the kids up here enjoyed reading. Mm-hmm. The teacher really instilled that in us, just from reading to us. Mm-hmm.
Did the teacher have you do any kind of writing activities?
Oh, yes, we did lots of writing.
I don't mean just penmanship, but...
Well, we did practice penmanship every day, mm-hmm. but...
Writing essays and stories, poems?
Oh, yes, we wrote all kinds of things like that. And we had art classes where we did drawing and making things.
Do you think the two teachers lived there?
Yes, they did.
Were they married?
They were both married, yes.
Did they have children of their own?
One didn't have any children, the one that was our upper grade teacher. She never had children. And the lower one just had one daughter. And their names were both Mrs. Grove, and they were not related.
Did each of them stay for several years?
Yes. Yeah, they were both. Well, Anita stayed the whole year. We always called her Anita, or Anita Grove, because of the two. Mm-hmm. And the other lady was Irma Grove. But she was there as long as I can remember. Well, their husbands worked for the camp.
There must have been train sounds all the time around there.
Early in the morning and late at night. These were just lectures. Well, sometimes it went for the afternoon, too.
Wasn't there backing up and switching and connecting cars and that sort of activity around with
Well, they didn't do too much of that where we were. The trains were stored right there by the school ground, and they just pretty much the engines came in there. And
in what is now a large play field?
Well, it might be just across from that, right close to where that bridge that we were talking about was.
Were the kids interested in crawling around on the train?
Oh, no, we were never allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. There was a water tank right there by the school where they filled, too. But it wasn't a noisy activity at all. I mean, it wasn't anything that was distracting or any of it. But it went on, you know, continually, so it wasn't any new thing.
Did you see the train at various other stages when you would go to LaGrand? I mean, on its travels
sometimes
around?
Sometimes we did.
How many cars would they usually be
pulling? I don't know. It had quite a few. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if it had 10 or not. I really don't remember that.
Did you usually see it loaded with logs?
Sometimes. Sometimes it'd get coming back empty.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt and uncle had an old dog who loved to chase sticks. And they would somebody would throw a stick up on top of a load of logs, and that old dog would ride down the hill guard on the load of logs, and then somebody would throw the stick back up on the empty train car, and he would ride back home.
Near Hill Guard, there was, what was it called, Five Corners?
Five Points.
Did you explore around there?
Well, we stopped there all the time, going to and from town. And, oh, sometimes we played in the creek a little bit, or mostly we just visited with the kids that lived there.
There were several houses there?
Well, what there was a row of cabins that they rented out. But we were never allowed to go around the cabins.
And do you mean some families lived in those cabins?
I don't think so. I think they were just strictly rented out to people.
Kind of a early style motel.
Yeah, pretty much.
And there was a store and a cabin, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you go in there?
Oh, yeah.
Got a larger store than the commissary?
No, it wasn't any bigger, I don't think. It was probably about the same size. They may have had some different things.
Why would you go in there?
To wait for my parents while they went in there and socialized. With all that. They kind of met there and drank their beer and had a good gab with other people from around the different points. And from some of the people from camp.
The Weimers owned it, right? Mm-hmm. Did you know them?
Oh, yes. I knew them very well. I was a little bit. I remember one time I did something wrong, Molly. I don't know what I did. And Mother pulled up my dress and spanked my bare bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not bare. I had underwear on, but she spanked my bottom. And I didn't cry when she did it. I was probably maybe 4. And we got out in the car and we started to go, and I started to howl and bawl. And I felt scared mom. She said, "What's wrong with you? You pulled my dress up in front of Joni Weimer." I was not happy with her.
Jody? Why?
Joni.
Weimer.
Joni.
Joni?
Uh-huh.
That's a woman.
No, that was the man.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What was his actual name?
I don't know.
Was he in charge of both the tavern and the store?
Oh, probably pretty much. He and his wife did pretty much both things, and they had gas pumps outside.
Did most people enjoy them?
Oh, yes, they were very much.
Jovial people?
Uh-huh.
Do you think it was hard making a living in a place like that?
I don't think so. I think they did pretty well. They were pretty busy. It was right on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
They would get travelers through,
uh-huh,
as well as,
yeah,
railroad and camp,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I think they did that. And then just on down the road, there was another one there, but people didn't seem to stop there much. Mountain Springs.
Was the winery called Five Points?
Uh-huh.
Five Points, groceries and cabins, or
yeah,
what was the name?
Yeah. That was it, I think.
Were there any illicit activities in connection with Five Points or the camp that you knew about?
Not that I knew about.
Well, pretty law-abiding folks?
Well, I think probably there were a few deer poached or something like this. I think it was eaten. I don't think they would have done any of it for the meanness or anything like that. I'm sure there was some of that done. But other than that, I don't know of any.
You left when you were about 15 or 16 to go to school in Lorraine?
No, I was 14, I think.
14?
14.
And was that because it only ran through the 8th grade, so if you were going to go to high school,
yeah,
it had to be somewhere else?
Right. Uh-huh. I boarded in town the first year.
Were you one of the few who did that, or did almost everyone in the class go to high school?
Oh, everyone went. I don't think anybody quit. Everyone went to school.
And did they all board with someone in town?
Some did, and some families wanted to have moved in. Some didn't stay there as long, and some of the kids didn't go to, like my brothers and sisters. You know, they being younger, they wanted the folks moved in. Of course, the camp closed just about that time, too.
52, was it?
I'm not sure.
Probably real close to that. Yeah. And was the adjustment to LeGrand High School and living in town at all difficult?
For me, the school, when I first came here, it was just so big to me. And I was feeling really mixed up and so many kids that I didn't know, you know. It was scary.
Not for long, though.
No, not too long. I got onto it pretty quick.
And did you find yourself well prepared, or just sort of averagely prepared?
No, I was okay. I was very much okay.
You did have to take some science, didn't you, in high school?
You know, I didn't. Don't ask me why, but I didn't. I didn't have any science.
Would that have been because you knew that you were not going to go on to college?
No, I did not know that. In fact, I did get a scholarship to go to a typing type, secretarial school, but I didn't do it. I got married instead.
Your career at LeGrand High School was a full 4 years then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were there any notable qualities about LeGrand High School that made you feel especially good or raised doubt about LeGrand High School?
Went to school and did my thing. Had lots of friends and football games and just the regular things, pretty much what kids do now.
You became acquainted, I suppose, and
with
a number of other students.
You knew them all.
And probably many of them had also gone to one or two of the schools in the county.
Well, the kids up there, some up at camp did, but I don't, there might have been some who went out in the valley somewhere, but I didn't hear about it.
That didn't become at all important in
no.
a high school person
no.
at this time.
No, not at all.
What other subject from that time strikes you as worth remembering?
Other than the school?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I worked at the theater, and that was one of the best things that ever happened to me because I was shy and I had to learn to speak to people and take care of people. And
that was the Liberty Theater?
Well, I started at the Granada, but then I worked at the Liberty too. I did box office in both places, and I started out in Georgia. And then after we were married that summer, I went to the drive-in and looked out there for that one summer.
Selling tickets?
Yes.
Tell me a little more about being an usher and selling tickets at the Liberty.
Well, you just sat in a little box and sold tickets.
Yes, I know that. But there must have been some kinds of interactions with customers occasionally that stick in your memory.
I remember more with the kids. I remember one time at the Granada I was selling tickets, and the heat turned up outside. And I remember Freddie Reeves turning the heat up out there and then locking the door and locking me in so I would cook in the box office. And I remember Mr. Gerlich, when he would come, he wanted me to get the figures all done so he could take the money from the Granada back up to the Liberty, and he would stand outside there watching me like a hawk while I'm trying to do the figures. So, and it made me nervous, and I couldn't do it very good. So one night I told him, well, if you just go in and sit down and watch the movie, I'll get this done really quick for you. So he always did after that. He didn't ever watch me through the window after that.
I understand that he was a very kind man.
He was. He was a wonderful person. Everybody liked him. He seemed stern, but he wasn't.
At the time you were working in those two theaters, attendance at movie theaters was much greater, proportionally, than it is now.
Yes. The theater was, well, both of them, they were so widescreen. It was just one theater. And generally, the whole theater was like, especially on the weekends, it would be full for each show.
Regardless of the movie?
Pretty much.
Would you say that the audiences were indiscriminate as to what they were watching?
Well, I think we have better movies then than we do now. It wasn't. They were more family-oriented movies.
They would always show them, wouldn't they, with news,
mm-hmm.
About 5 minutes of newsreel, mm-hmm. and then one or two short subjects, cartoon, for example.
That one cartoon. I think that came at the end of the movie, though. The cartoon was at the end. And maybe a short thing, and then started on the movie, and the movies were fairly long, and we'd have intermission in between.
Between what?
Stop the movie in the middle, and have intermission.
Why do you think they did that?
So people could buy candy and pop.
Popcorn?
Pop and popcorn.
Did you have to clean up the theater after shows?
No, we had a janitor.
I remember in about that period, a little sooner, that a little earlier, that on Saturday nights they often added to the movie bingo.
No.
Did that occur around here?
No, it didn't.
That really drew people in.
Probably
there wasn't
did.
An empty seat at all in that theater.
No, they didn't do that here. Sure. Not while I was there.
The Liberty also, at some period, had live entertainment on the stage. Was that still going on when you were working
no,
there?
No, it wasn't. Mr. Billy's office was upstairs in the Liberty. So that was where he took the money.
Did you ever encounter the projectionist?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I knew them.
Do you remember any names?
Ken Grant was one. And Doris, his wife. And Wes Smith was one. And Vallis Dexter was the other one.
Vallis?
Vallis Dexter.
Oh, V-A-L-L-I-S?
Oh, yes, that's right.
K-S. And did they take turns doing the job?
Yes.
Two or three times a week for each?
Uh-huh. I think that Ken and Wes were the regular projectionists, and then I think Vallis kind of did it as a fill-in, I believe.
Were you in the projection booth occasionally?
Oh, I've gone in to give them a message or something, but we didn't disturb them.
But I'm just wondering how it was set up. I imagine there were two projectors. Each movie would come with several reels, wouldn't it? And
I really don't remember because I didn't
You weren't curious about that?
No, well, we just didn't bother them.
Did they play recorded music before the movie started?
There might have been some.
Did you ever go backstage?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
What did you see back there?
Back to the curtains and...
Anything really interesting?
No, anything really interesting. It's kind of spooky.
Uh-huh.
I have to go back to make sure the door was locked and stuff at night.
Uh-huh. From working at those two theaters, what do you think you learned about work and about yourself?
Well, I learned about counting money and taking care of people and socializing. And then a lot of us who worked there were good friends. We did things on the outside together, too. It was a good experience right there.
When you say social, well... when you dealt with people, were there some times when it was a difficult situation or when people were objectionable?
Really not much, because you were in charge and people just didn't seem to give you much go. We never had much problems.
Were you wearing a uniform?
No.
What did you wear?
Well, just shirts and sweaters.
Name badge or anything to identify you as an employee?
No.
So they knew you were an employee simply because you were sitting in the right place?
Probably, and they saw me there for years.
Sure. Yeah.
I have something to do with it.
Do you know where the tickets came from?
They could roll. They were sent to us, but I don't know how they came from.
What was the admission charge for a child and for an adult?
When I was a kid, prices were 16 cents to get into the movie.
16 cents?
For me. And then a 55 cents was an adult ticket when I was selling tickets. And I believe it was 75 cents for the loges.
Why were the loges better?
Well, they are softer and they walk. They're in the back. Better seats.
Were they typically fully occupied, the loges?
No, not as well in the evenings they were, but the daytime, the kids never wanted to pay for them, and we kept them locked up pretty much and kept the kids out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'd sneak over and get in, but we knew how many loads tickets we sold, so then we would make them leave, you know, so they didn't get messed up.
Was that a special section of the balcony?
No, it was downstairs.
Main floor. Mm-hmm. Which part of the main floor?
Kind of in the back of the middle of the main floor.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10 or 15 feet?
Well, there was more. Probably three or four rows in the middle.
Hmm.
Maybe 20, I don't know.
Were they quite a bit more comfortable than the
other
seats?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they were overstuffed where the others were straight, hard chairs.
Hard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the floor sloped, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you would have a very good view from the loge.
Yeah.
Was smoking allowed?
No. Yeah, it's not in the lobby this morning. Goody, goody.
As an usher, did you ever have to deal with misbehavior?
Oh, only with generally kids or some smart kids from the school who once in a while would be kind of smarter on me. But they knew that if they were out,
mm-hmm.